Hey there, it's Mark. Hi. How's it going in the internet? How's it going? I'm in your ears. Or maybe you're listening to this on like a speaker kind of deal. Then I'm in the room with you. Hi. This is a bonus episode. We recorded this, it was meant to be released last year during the release schedule, but we kind of let the podcast get out ahead of us and ended up just sort of letting a few episodes fall by the wayside. So we got sort of three on the docket. To release from last year. This episode is about Fever Ray. Hope you enjoy. And if there's any references to... If it seems weird, like this was recorded before the new stuff was recorded, that's because that's true. I don't really know why I needed to record this. Like, you wouldn't intellectually understand what was about to happen. Like, you would be listening to this and you would go, wait, I download a podcast, and it sounds like it's from the past, and they're talking about it like it's from the past. I'm in the past. If that's where you're at right now, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. I promise it's okay. You're not in the past. You're in the present. This episode is in the past, though. So, you know. Hope you're well. Thanks to all the renewed support of the show. I've had a lot of good... positivity around us recently, and we appreciate that. So I don't know, like, listen to it or whatever, or, you know, do what you do. Goodbye.
And welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark, and I'm blown away at your sudden energy.
My enthusiasm?
You're extremely
Mark,
excited to be here.
I am wired. I've been up for 5 days straight listening to music because the end of the year is fast approaching, and there's too many albums, and I haven't listened to them all yet. Okay. All right, let's do the show.
I see maybe 40 opened mini bottles of 5-Hour Energy in front of you.
I drank them all in the last hour because I need 40 hours of energy.
Sorry, could just look at me, right? Your
that
eyes
math is right.
Your eyes are bulging.
Right. Check that math, Mark. Check that math.
Eight hundred hours
of energy. Oh. I need 800 hours.
Oh my god,
stat.
What albums are you going to listen to? You're just going to listen to Fever Ray over and over the whole time?
Yes. This week on the podcast, we're talking about Fever Ray. The album is called Plunge. And then we'll dive into the Billboard Hot 100, which this week has graced us with the song called Havana by Camila Cabello. She is that former Fifth Harmony lady who said, no more of that. I'm doing my own thing. Plus, Mark and I will then break down all of the other albums that have been filling our ears over the past week or so. I've got like six or seven, I think, and certainly some that have crossed over, including our official final discussion of that dang Fleet Foxes album, Crack Up. Time to put that thing in the ground where it belongs. Look forward to that on the second half of the program. But I guess, Mark, I just want to make sure that you're healthy still, that you haven't experienced the heart palpitations that I have in the past 72 hours. Are you okay? Are you alive?
Man, I had I had two coffees today.
Ooh, I'm feeling jittery. Sorry. I'm just going to talk over you a little bit more because I got to work out this energy. If I stop talking, I'm just going to explode into a million pieces. So I'm just going to keep on going. Thanks. Glad to have you here, Mark.
Okay. I'm not sure I can quite match your level of energy. I'm a little worried that when I look into your eyes, they kind of seem to be like popping out and then sinking in.
Right. I have prolapsed pupils where they've dripped out of my eyes. They have gone beyond where they're supposed to go, and so now I'm just relying on my smell and my hearing to get me around this world. I can't see anything anymore.
Your smell. You're relying on your smell.
My smell. I rely on my smell.
I need my personal space. We talked about this. I need my personal space.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Back off.
All right. I got to channel it.
Also, I did coke earlier, and I'm not even nearly on your level.
Good. The year in music is fast ending, Mark, and you and I will get together in just a couple of weeks to talk it all out and make sense of the whole thing. But for right now, it's go time. Everyone else is cramming their mouths full of Thanksgiving stuffing and pumpkin pie, and not us, Mark. Well, we're doing that too, but we're also stuffing music in our ears. How many can you get?
Energy drinks into our eyeballs.
But not my eyeballs, because they don't work anymore.
Can you see at all?
No, I told you. It's only my smell and my hearing that I rely on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're moving a lot.
I have to keep moving. It's like that movie where if they stop moving, then they die. It's like that.
Crank?
Yeah, that's
the
one.
You do have a Crank vibe to you, which makes me nervous.
Is John McClane in that movie?
John McClane is a character. It's not an actor.
Yeah, but is he in that movie?
No. Jason Statham?
Oh, is that who that is?
That's who that is.
Jason Statham is just the poor man's John McClane, though, right?
What are you talking about, John McClane? What do you mean? You're talking about Bruce Willis?
John McClane. Yeah, that guy.
No, I completely disagree. Jason Statham's great.
What has he been in? The Transporter? Crank?
Crank. Fast and the Furious. Expendables.
He had a pretty good cameo in Spy with Melissa McCarthy a couple years ago.
Yeah, he's also a good friend of mine.
All right. Well, I won't talk any bad about him anymore.
You're freaking me out, man.
I'm sorry. I got to calm it down. I got to relax.
You want like a back rub or something?
You know what? I'm all right. I'm just going to find my inner peace.
Here, I'll just do it. No, I'll just do it.
Okay. I love when back rubs are just forced upon you. That's the best way to feel comfortable.
Stop moving. Just feel that. Okay. You feel that?
Yeah, I feel that. Okay.
Great.
All right. Let us talk about the second official album from Fever Ray, Plunge. It was released on 27th of October, 2017. Fever Ray is actually Karin Dreyer, who is from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been in the electronica music scene for quite some time. Mark, I got to know, does Fever Ray give you fever?
Well,
in a good way, not a bad way, like a Black Keys kind of fever way.
That further complicates the quality of fever. What are you talking about? So you know what? I would put this album above several Black Keys albums. Is that clear?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I'd agree with you.
Okay, great. Next album.
What do you like about this thing so much?
It doesn't sound like those Black Keys albums.
You're right.
I was worried.
I did like her cover of Gold on the Ceiling on this thing. That was a lot of fun.
That was pretty cool. But I was worried too. I looked at this and I was, oh God, is this going to sound like the Black Keys circa 2011? And it didn't. And I was, oh, thank God. Yeah, it's pretty good. I like this.
Actually,
album.
If we could just review it in starts and stops like that in an awkward way, that would probably go right along with the style of the music here.
You think so?
And then if we just pitched up our vocals like five times as high and overlaid them at the exact same time, then we'd be doing it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like actually that back rub I gave you is a pretty good vibe. It's like a good intro vibe for what Fever Ray does on this album, right?
Yeah. Can you elaborate on that a little bit to make it make sense in my brain?
Yeah, she just like wants to just touch you. She just wants to touch you.
Mm-hmm. It's an intimate kind of album, isn't it? It's an album that's very concerned with sexuality and getting all touchy with somebody else while club beats are banging in the background.
So I'd say more physically intimate than always emotionally infinite.
I would agree with you. Intimate. There's some pretty explicit language on this thing.
Yeah, were you scared at any point in this album?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we'll talk about that later on. But before being scared, I got to say that this album is an enjoyable time front to finish. Did you like that expression, front to finish? I'm switching things up a little bit. Keeping it fresh with my alliteration over here.
Yeah.
I think that it starts off super strong and maybe doesn't finish as strongly as I would like it to.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like a little Bjorky, little FKA Twigs.
Hey, what up, y'all? I'm little Bjorky. All is full of love.
Yeah. But she's got that Scandinavian style. I think it's hard to not notice a couple instances where she sounds quite a bit like Bjork.
I guess.
And in the same way, kind of makes me feel embarrassed of my sexuality, like FKA Twigs does. She resorts to that, like, cloying baby voice in a couple places here that really makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like... So this is my thing. I also really like this album. But I feel like I have some kind of fundamental critiques of it, too.
Yeah.
Specifically, with you referencing... what's her name? FKA Twigs.
Sure.
Or someone like Pharmacon from this year also. Or Bjork. I feel like, you know, this is the person, this is the lady who's from The Knife, right? And they've done
correct
a lot of pretty interesting art, like kind of art, synth, indie pop, weird stuff like that. But they're never too, too weird. And I almost feel like for as narratively boundary pushing and vocally boundary pushing as she is on this album, I'm not even going to try to pretend I know how to say her name. I felt like the music was a little lacking in far as how much it was pushing the themes that she was talking
yeah.
about. Like, I wanted just a little bit more. There's some tracks on this thing where, even though I find most of the tracks are successful and they fit into a kind of oddly shaped pop mold, I was kind of hoping that they would maybe go a little further, get a little skeevier or something, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't get weird enough for you.
Yeah, like a little bit, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's start tearing this thing apart track by track and finding some good parts. I don't know what you thought about the opening here, Wanna Sip, but I think it's really good, man. It's a great intro track.
Oh, I want a sip. Oh, do I want to take a sip, said Charlie.
Do I want a sip, man. She's got that club banger underneath it all. It's sort of in the way that, like, a Noni... Mm-hmm. gets the club beats that pairs it up with really explicit, difficult language. It's not as, you know, socially challenging as those things are,
right.
But it's, I don't know, maybe working in a similar space. Let's play a little bit from Wanna Sip. I love that boom clap beat throughout this thing. It sounds super great. It's kind of just got a bare bones underneath it all. And then a little later on, we get this kind of woo effect that's going on underneath the vocals that is really good. I think this is where it gets pretty abrasive
mm-hmm.
for the album. She pushes her sound pretty far on this opening track, and I think it works supremely well.
Yeah. I think... There's a, with The Knife, there's a sense of head first, heart second. And this feels almost Dream of Consciousness to me. I haven't listened to the first Fever Ray album. I don't really know much about her as a solo artist at all. I barely even know The Knife. But Wanna Sip, I think, is a really strong intro because of how odd the instrumentation is. And a lot of...
Mm-hmm.
What I was talking about earlier, referencing some of these tracks I feel like could be a little weirder, could push more boundaries. I feel like Wanna Sip is a track that kind of does do that. And it's sort of like, oddly, the most sexual song title this year, maybe, Wanna Sip. Like, just kind of like,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say off-putting, but just so animal.
Yeah.
You know?
It's in your face.
Language, yeah.
It's got an id kind of power to it, where it's being driven from something more primal.
Yeah, definitely.
And the banging club beat. I think it's maybe the strongest beat on this record, just as far as like in-your-face-ness, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think maybe I disagree with that. I think the second half of Mustn't Hurry is super strong. I think that thing builds to a really nice, real nice climax. I mean, I want to be sipping on that thing all day.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, it's kind of a 1-2 punch here. Wanna Sip opens up with that poof, tsh, poof, psh, and then Mustn't Hurry, the next track, is much more reserved at first. Much more reserved, which is the exact same word I said a little bit earlier. But let's play a little bit from Mustn't Hurry.
Thank you.
Yeah, you feel kind of Bjorky in the vocals there, right?
Yeah, sure.
But that beat underneath it might be my favorite beat on this entire album. That thing is super good, super chill, very enjoyable just to relax inside of that thing. Let's jump to the end of the track and play a little bit more. And ultimately, her vocals just become another layer in the beat that's there. You know, what she's saying is less important than the way she's intoning her voice and the way the layers stack up over time. Super satisfying build, super satisfying track in general. This album has got a great 1-2 punch to start things off.
Right. And if that first track is an intro to the sort of stream of consciousness id stuff, I think the second track is an indication that that's not all she's covering. I think the strongest quality of this Fever Ray album is that it is all about id sexuality. I think it is all about pure kind of lust feeling. But unlike most, if not almost all, media about lust and pure sexuality, I think Fever Ray, I just can't even remember what this album is called. Oh my goodness.
Plunge.
I think one thing Plunge does that very few other things do is that it captures that there is a range of ways that you can be sort of bluntly sexual.
Sexy.
Yeah.
You can get sexy with people in different ways, Mark. Did you know that? It's 2017, man.
but really, though, I mean, like, To the Moon and Back is almost playful in its sexuality. Later, towards the end of the album, the track An Itch represents the sort of animal longing for an emotional connection in the middle of an intense sexual one, sort of like a missing component. The politicization of sex is a pretty explicit theme in the middle of the album. I just think that she's covering sexuality, even though I think musically she doesn't push herself enough. I think she covers more ground than someone like FKA Twigs does.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So it's kind of like she is Bjork plus FKA Twigs plus Grimes.
Plus Lil Bjorky.
Let's play a little bit from To the Moon and Back. This is the first single off the album, one she's pushing quite heavily.
It's like an Ape Escape level.
And I like the beat. I wonder if it just gets maybe a tad annoying after so long. There's not enough variation to it. It's very staccato. And there's not enough like vocal modulation to go along with it to make it super engaging.
Yeah.
But it's very playful. It's very fun. It's very bright. It's an interesting song to have on this thing.
Yeah, I actually think it's maybe my favorite track. I do. I can see where you're coming from. Oh, cool. I can see where you're coming from. But I think that the way that she sort of has these layers of synth, like the way most of the music is written to have sort of unconventional percussion and then just a real wiry, sort of like you, like a real wired synth part that's kind of all over the place.
This song has also ingested 40 gallons of 5-hour energy over the past 3 days.
Yeah, and it's got this super posy vibe to it, and it's super easy to listen to. And it was like, it made the album as a whole feel like such a more comprehensive statement than it would without it. I think some of the instrumental tracks dive into some of the more lighthearted, kind of playful elements of sexuality, but I like that there was sort of this explicit song that's just about that. It's cool.
It's playful, it's positive, it's just fooling around and having a good time with your girlfriends.
Yeah, or boyfriends, whatever you...
Or boyfriends, whatever you want to do. Let's get freaky with everybody. Why not?
Me and you right now? Let's get freaky with everybody.
No, we've got a podcast to do, Mark. It's inappropriate.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You know the rules. When the mics are recording, don't come knocking. Well, let's get a little darker, Mark. Let's talk about some of the other tracks in the middle of this album. I'm thinking about IDK About You in This Country.
I don't know about you.
that very Bjork-y sounding vocal delivery on IDK About You, but also a very disco heavy track. It feels like something you would hear in a club, playing sort of like the sensual, like, uh-huh. I'm going to go to a spot and see a masked stranger in the corner. And like, I know lots of things about this world, but you are a person I don't know yet, and I don't know who you are. And we could have glorious times together, help. But I don't know
help.
Yet.
Some help.
Help from what?
This person.
Let's play a little bit of IDK About You.
Okay.
Maybe gets a little bit annoying for me in there, a bit too much.
Yeah, I'm. This is one of those tracks where I feel like it falls off a little bit,
overperformed.
You know, I actually like the vocals. I like that she sounds like she's just like
losing her mind.
Yeah, like she's like on a substance and she's just dancing. She's like not like sexy dancing.
The strobe lights going in the club and she's just like. Out of control of her body.
Yeah, you can only see her illuminated by the strobe light every like half second, but every yes. half second you see, she looks completely embarrassed. Oh!
Oh my god. How did she get her head down there that fast?
What? I don't even understand the physiology of you anymore.
And she's got that sample of that, like, verse, the voice in there. It sounds like someone's like in the middle of a sneeze.
Yeah.
I get that it's trying to be sexy, but it sounds more like you caught them in the midst of blowing their nose. I don't know.
Yeah, I actually agree. I think like this is another one of those moments where I wish the roots of the song were a little planted a little more firmly. I wish there was a little bit more to dig into. It is unconventional. The percussion's super fun. I mean, the song is almost all percussion. It's a lot of weird noises to make a song
out of. Very up-tempo.
But I want a little bit more from it. I want it to get even weirder or deeper in its sound. Like, as it is, it's just kind of doesn't really do any of the things that I'm looking for in the track.
Yeah. Along with it, right after comes This Country, which is interesting to discuss. She implores over and over again on the final verse that this country makes it hard to bone, Mark.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, is she talking about America? Or is she talking about Sweden? Because she is from Sweden.
I think it's her lyrics
it's
can be
your
so
country.
Vague. Yeah.
Wherever you are, it's your country.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the lyrics are so they're simple, but they're extremely hard to interpret, at least for me.
Yeah.
Some of the lines I think are very evocative when she references perverts defining her sexual history.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of a cool idea. I think that's true. I think more often than not, it's men who can't control their sexuality who are the most. I think about that Mike Pence thing when he said, well, mm-hmm. I'm never alone with a woman because you never know what can happen. Like,
right.
I think that's a cool line, but then like,
the Mike Pence line?
Yeah, I really agree with him.
When he said it?
Alone.
Yeah, he was really right.
But then later, there's the line, free abortions and clean water, destroy nuclear, destroy boring. And I'm less into that.
That's maybe the most memorable line of dialogue on this thing, though, right? As far as lyrics go, that's the one that sticks in my head the most.
I think her just repeating over and over, this country makes it hard to bone, is the thing that really is memorable. She says it so many times.
Is that a good line or is that a bad line?
I'm torn. I like it. I also don't like how it's performed.
Yeah. Because she's got this like 5 times sped up, pitched up version of herself that's overlaying it. And that to me makes me, that's a scary moment on the ear.
Yeah.
When she gets into her little like baby voice. Let's see if we can find some of that from This Country. Every time. Classic.
Classic moment from Fever Ray.
But it is kind of unsettling the way she's got that voice layered on top of hers.
Yeah. But don't you think, like that, I think that moment's probably the most indicative of what I mean. Like, whenever you're making that statement, I want to be totally encapsulated in it. But what the reality is I'm surrounded by, like, like the corniest synth line possible.
Right. I don't know that it really satisfies me in the way that I want it to either. It's engaging, it's interesting, but it doesn't do enough to elevate it to truly revelatory grounds.
Yeah, I don't know. I think on the whole this is like a super successful thing, but it's just kind of like dotted with these moments that are, I just don't understand. Maybe it's a cultural difference. I feel like electronic music looks different across the sea, but I just have a hard time not thinking about like Sandstorm when I hear synths that sound like that. You know?
Yeah. Maybe you need to be in a Scandinavian nightclub, you know, between the hours of 11 p.m. and 1 a.m., just kind of doing your thing on the dance floor, and then a song like IDK About You comes on, and you're like, oh, this is exactly what I need right now.
It's dance club.
And then it all makes sense.
Makes it easy.
It's a bump. Exactly. That's her message. Just go to a Scandinavian nightclub. You'll have a good time.
There's few experiences I would rather have exactly right now in this moment than what you just described.
Let's make it happen.
I'll buy 2018.
Weekly Beats, live from Sweden. On the dance floor.
All they play is Sandstorm over here. Weird.
That's pretty cool. Perfect.
Thanks.
And, you know, I don't know that I have a whole lot else to say about this thing. I kind of get to a point where I admire it and I enjoy a good chunk of it, but it's not stirring me intellectually in a way that I want it to. Maybe it's supposed to stir me
in your pants.
Exactly. I don't know if it's doing a whole lot of that
either.
Where
your genitals are.
Right. It's interesting. It's, I think, engaging to think about, but it just comes up short every time I try to engage with it. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I want to go as far as saying it comes up short for me. I do find, I find the overall album to be very satisfying. I really do like the way that she does. She's inventive with her synth stuff in a way that I think is really cool. And Wanna Sip is really successful. Mustn't Hurry is really successful. And Itch, kind of interesting moment. Red Trails has some problems, but it's a cool weird moment at the end of the album.
Red Trails is like a Native American mother's song on a Disney movie.
Play me it right now so I can compare what you...
Nailed it.
I don't know. It doesn't sound like Disney to me.
Let's go a little bit earlier.
Wait, never keeps what?
It's like waiting for a drug that never kicks in. Classic Disney line.
So what she said was, waiting for a drug that never keeks in.
Keeks in. The Scandinavians in their eyes, you know, it's always a little bit heavier.
This Charlie in his eyes, bulging all
they
around.
Don't work anymore.
Anyway. I don't know.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Do you have anything else to say about it?
I like it. I think it's cool. I kind of wish the track I Don't Know About You didn't exist.
It's interesting, man, because I feel like that track could be really engaging, like a Wanna Sip, like a Mustn't Hurry, but instead it's kind of caught in between a tempo that's too quick or
a beat that's too busy. I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't quite gel the way I want it to. It feels like it could be the centerpiece of this album, like the biggest track of them all, and for whatever reason, it doesn't quite work for me.
Yeah. It's a super evocative piece. This is a great experience. And I think it adds to the conversation. I think this album is a success. But
a thumbs up.
I don't know about you.
I hear you. All right. Give me some highlights, Mark. What are you taking with you?
Okay. I'm going to take Mustn't Hurry for sure. I'm going to take To the Moon and Back. And lastly, I'll take One Sip.
Perfect. I'm doing the exact same three. Except To the Moon and Back comes first, then Want a Sip, then Mustn't Hurry.
I didn't really pick them in order.
Okay, well, then forget it.
Okay.
I'm taking Red Trails, I'm taking Plunge, and I'm taking Mama's Hand.
You don't want to take Mama's Hand.
No, of course I don't, Mark. Of course I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But you made me do that.
I'd do it again.
All right. It's a 3 out of 3 for all of us here at the Weekly Beats Studio. Let's take a quick break, Mark. When we come back, we'll dive into the latest Billboard offerings from Camila Cabello. So stay tuned. Anybody, just come in with me. Gotta love my trucks and swing it. I know I don't know about you. I don't know about you. All right, we are back and ready to dive into the latest Billboard offering. This week it's Havana from Camila Cabello featuring, guess who it's featuring, Mark?
Lil Bjorky.
No, it's not Lil Bjorky, although it is a Lil.
Lil Bjorky.
Good guess, Mark. Nope, it's Young Thug.
Oh, okay.
So it's 3 minutes and 37 seconds long. Are you a fan of Camila Cabello or Fifth Harmony?
Man, I don't even know who that is.
Good. Here's the opening to Havana. Here we go. Hey.
This so far could be anything. I have no idea.
You have no idea where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Tugger could come in and just do his thing.
Who?
Down there in Havana. Tugger.
Who's that?
Tugger. Lil Thug. Young Thug.
What are you talking about? I thought you said Tucker.
No, Tugger.
Thought we were going to get a Tucker Carlson op-ed.
Yeah. It sounds like something I've heard before, though.
Could it be Despacito? Could it be Wild Thoughts?
It definitely has that Latin flair to it, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it sounds like those songs in particular, but
I just think it doesn't sound like anything yet.
Yeah. Production seems strong. Her voice seems strong.
I can hear her. Like, I can hear her singing. I can also hear the piano.
Yeah, the piano is definitely there.
Yeah, it's audible. Oh, na na, it's like Sha Na Na. So there's that.
Is this the song sequel to Sha Na Na?
I think it's actually the prequel. I think Sha Na Na hears this, and then they go, "Guys, I have a person we could plagiarize."
So that's actually not Young Thug on the hey in the opening. It's actually Pharrell Williams. Who knew?
Who knew he could do that? Who knew he could exclaim in the middle of a song?
Let's get some genius annotations from the opening. Half of my heart is in Havana. Havana, as you may know, Mark, is the capital of Camila's home country, Cuba. She was born in Cochima, but for most of her childhood, she moved back and forth between Havana and Mexico City. And Young Thug is from Atlanta. Who cares? Young Thug isn't even in the opening.
Also, I've been to Atlanta. Me, the person writing this annotation.
So, it's a song about Cuba.
Yeah.
It's a song about love in Cuba.
Is that where this is leading? Is this going to be a love song?
Well, I mean, she's saying half of my heart is in Havana. He took me back to East Atlanta.
Well, maybe she's. This is a song about your hometown.
Maybe it's a song about Young Thug.
Maybe he is Satan.
That's the best evidence we have yet. Let's keep going. When he came in, he said there's a lot of girls I can do it, but I can't without doing forever in a minute. That's on my night, and Tyler says he got Milo in him. He got me feeling like, ooh, I knew it when I met him. I loved him when I left him. Got me feeling like, ooh, and then I had to tell him.
Okay, I'll throw out my Satan theory.
Okay. So you don't think it's Satan?
Did an airplane just take off?
I don't think so.
it sounded like a motor revving up.
The backup cooling vents on my laptop might have kicked in.
Holy crap.
This thing is an old piece of technology, Mark. It's barely chugging along. It's got to stay alive.
Oh. Making some Goron noises.
So the lyric, he didn't walk up with that "how you doing" when he came in the room. In the American sitcom Friends, "how you doing" is Joey's catchphrase when he hits on women.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, what I do is I look a woman up and down and I say, "Hey, how you doing?"
Oh, please.
Hey, how you doing?
So there's that.
Okay. So she
Friends is actually one of Camilla's favorite TV series.
Well, what you've done is you've forced me to interpret this entire song that Joey from Friends is the man in the song.
Yeah. An ideal husband.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of girls I can deal with, but I can't without you.
Where do you stand on Friends? Greatest sitcom of our American life or just a regular TV show?
Greatest sitcom on this American life?
Yeah.
That's got to be Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. honestly, dude, I don't really hang with Friends too much. I just don't really...
Overrated.
Yeah. Got to say, it kind of is.
Which friend are you most like?
The cat that smells.
I was going to say Rachel, but you can be the cat too.
Oh, no one wants to hang out with me. I smell terrible.
I love that episode with the cat when they say that.
Oh, I hate this cat. It smells so badly. Hi.
There he is. Is his name Jeffrey?
I have no idea why he says Jeffrey. I guess
why
so.
Is he obsessed with Jeffrey?
He has one audience member he's most interested in getting their attention. It's Jeffrey.
If he hasn't gotten it now, he never will.
Oh, it is his real name. Okay.
Jeffrey Lamar Williams. Do you think he regrets taking the name Young Thug? Do you think he wants to be Jeffrey instead?
That'd be pretty good if his name was just Jeffrey. Young Thug
Young
is the
Thug
most
is so generic.
Oh my goodness.
We're on the same page. That's why we have a podcast.
Touch toes. Touch toes. Wiggle them. Touch toes.
Ding. Jeffrey is the coolest rap name. All in favor of Young Thug changing his name to Jeffrey permanently, say aye.
Aye.
All right. That's two. The ayes have it. Young Thug, let's make it happen.
Boo.
Excuse me. Oh, Jeffrey, let's make it happen.
You hear that? Anoni just booed.
Okay, Anoni, nobody asked you. Sit in your peanut gallery. You haven't said two words to us for the past 3 months. And now all of a sudden you get itchy when we try to tell somebody else what their name is. This is not your space to voice your opinion.
This is it.
Speaking of Anoni, did you hear she did her last show yesterday?
What?
It was like public, like, this is my last show. People aren't taking me seriously, but I'm deadly serious about this. This is my last show.
What? Why?
So I guess Anoni is going to stay quiet on that, but apparently she's all done.
Why'd you do that?
She's waving her flags again.
Put those down. Why did you do that?
it just kind of reminds me of like when a young kid says, I'm going to stop eating now. I mean it. You didn't do what I wanted you to do, so now I'm not going to eat my green beans.
You, I've had this disagreement with you so many times. So many times I've tried to get you to eat your green beans, and you will not do it.
The line Jeffrey is annotated on Rap Genius. Young Thug's real name is Jeffrey Lamar Williams. He frequently uses Jeffrey as an alias, an ad lib, and he titled his popular 2016 mixtape Jeffrey.
Okay, so Friends overrated. Frasier underrated.
Ooh, yeah, Frasier's pretty good. Cheers, I like quite a bit.
Yeah, Cheers.
Cheers, the pilot to Cheers might be one of the best episodes of TV ever made.
Oh, I gotta see it. That sounds great.
It's super well written.
Yeah?
Great introduction of all the characters, sharp, snappy writing. You're instantly drawn in. You feel like there are stakes and there's weight to the conflict there. It's really, really good.
Okay. Here's a good debate, though. Here's a good debate point that I think everyone would end up with a strong opinion on.
Okay.
And I think both sides would be hard to disagree with.
On many sides, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Sides. Excuse me. Sorry. There's great people on many sides of this argument. And I mean
many
that.
Many sides.
Better theme song, Frasier or Cheers? It's Frasier.
It's probably Frasier.
Oh my God! And he starts talking about scrambled eggs. You can't say no to that.
I don't know what to do with all the salads and scrambled eggs.
Can I do laugh? Can I do the laugh part?
The colon again.
Can I do the laugh?
Go for it. Perfect.
Go, everybody. Dun 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 dun.
Just graduated, fresh on campus. Mm-mm. Fresh out East Atlanta with no manners. Damn, fresh out East Atlanta. Young Thug never went to college. He never went to high school either. Thug was expelled in sixth grade for breaking a teacher's arm.
Oh, my God.
He was sent to a juvenile detention program for 4 years. In December 2014, he told Rolling Stone, I broke my teacher's arm. Took his ass out. 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. No windows or nothing. Like a real jail. A lot of punishment. I didn't do there anything there but gamble, smoke, and have sex.
At the prison?
Yeah.
Who?
That's not the first thing that comes to my mind.
Which part? The sex part? Oh, yeah. The shocking part. What are you referencing?
Breaking a teacher's arm.
Oh. Right, sorry.
It was awesome.
Why do you think he did that?
Probably gave him a B instead of an A that he deserved.
Man, that sounds like a wild story.
Jeffrey, and his name is Young Thug. And he's like, I'm Young Thug. And the teacher's like, no, your name is Jeffrey.
Oh, I kind of want to break this guy's arm. I side with Young Thug. Today we're going to go to mathematics. Like a traffic jam. Yeah. I was quick to pay that girl like Uncle Sam. Here you go, ayy. Take it on me. Ayy. Try to crave it on me. Get the beating on me. On me. She waited on me. Yeah. Try to cake it on me. Got the bacon on me. This is history in the making, homie. On me. Point blank, close range, that beat. If it goes a million, that's me. It's me. I was getting moolah, baby. Did he say anything intelligible there? Or was it just noise? I could understand that. Okay, you could understand that.
It just sounded like squealy noises to me.
All
right, let's read the actual lyrics. Bump, 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 bump her like a traffic jam. Hey, I was quick to pay that girl like Uncle Sam. Here you go. Hey, back it on me, shorty craving on me, get to eating on me. She waiting on me. Then what? Shorty caking on me, got the bacon on me. Wait up. This is history in the making on me, point blank, close range. That be, if it costs a million, that's me, that's me. I was getting moolah, baby.
There's some good stuff in that verse.
What's your favorite line?
My favorite line, probably the traffic jam.
Got it caking on me?
No, it's got to be bumper like a traffic jam.
Bump, 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 bump.
Because I think that's funny.
Yeah.
It's not aggressive.
On the line, Shoddy Craven on me, get to eating on me. It says, Young Thug is known for throwing large amounts of cash, a.k.a. bacon, on strippers. In this case, Shoddy notices Young Thug and starts dancing for him. By saying that she's eating on him, Thugger is using the same bacon reference for cash to say that she's getting a lot of money from him.
I see.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get that from that verse personally, but...
Shoddy caking on me. The phrase caking on somebody is sometimes used as a synonym for flirting with someone, because when you are flirting, you usually try to be extra nice and sweet to a person, and a cake is also known for being pretty sweet. Since it is a Young Thug lyric, it could also mean something a little more sexual.
Yeah, no, dude, I feel like what is happening here is that he's acting as the other side of the first person in the narrative, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand why this would be, like, he's, I don't think he's paying for something right now. What he's saying is he got out of jail. He was ready to get out there and start living life again. He went to a club to celebrate. He met somebody. He's like immediately like, this girl, I made eyes with her. I started dancing on her and we had sex. That seems to be what's happening.
Paolo's has marked that genius comment as inappropriate and proposed his own. Caking is a popular term used by rappers, which refers to ass. Young Thug is basically saying that the girl is twerking on him while he has the bacon, a.k.a. throwing money at her. This is history in the making, on me. Young Thug is known as one of the most influential artists and genius, critical thinker, possibly one of the greatest minds of all time.
Oh,
in this line, the usually humble lyrical genius Young Thug states that it is obvious that he will be inducted into the history books, most likely for his clever wordplay and impressionable cadence.
What? Is... Imagine this.
Settle
what's this guy's
down,
name?
Frog.
What's his
frog
name?
Frog with a zero. It's Frog, but instead of an O, he's got a zero there.
That guy is a. He's that guy needs to relax.
Possibly one of the greatest minds of all time.
That man is 13 years old. He's very intent to explain Young Thug to you on the internet.
He will be inducted into the history books, most likely. For his clever wordplay and impressionable cadence.
Impressionable cadence. What does that mean, impressionable cadence? What's he talking about?
Like people want to be like him. He's got a cadence that is impressionable. People want to try to mimic and copy him.
I thought being impressionable was you take from
easily
others.
Swayed.
Yeah, I don't think his lyrics are swayed by the presence of others.
I don't know. But I do know for the lyric point blank close range... Point blank range is any distance over which the trajectory of a given projectile fired from a given weapon remains sufficiently flat that one can strike a target by firing at it directly.
Oh, God.
Point blank range. That was the longest way of explaining that possible. Point blank range will vary by a weapon's external ballistics, characteristics, and the target chosen. Close range is a shorter range in which you know you will hit your target.
The people who annotated the song are the last people I want to be alone in a room with.
It was like a 70-word sentence to explain what point-blank range was.
No, it's not quite a good enough definition of point-blank range. Actually, it's when there's the minimum possible distance between you and a target to get the perfect trajectory. I don't know why I started Bernie Sanders.
Settle down, man.
Point-blank range.
I was getting moolah, baby. Moolah is a slang term for money. Rappers usually flaunt their money, just like Young Thug did in this verse. Boasting his wealth to the listeners, since the start of his career in 2011, Young Thug has made millions, living the good life he has dreamed of as a kid. Moolah Baby also refers to Lil Wayne's popular phrase about his label, Young Money Entertainment.
That's boring.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's accurate.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you, actually. Do you have any impressions of the song, like quality-wise?
I think it's fine. I think it's poppy and listenable. It's a little bit slow for me. It's hanging out in that kind of like mid-tempo range. It's produced well. It's performed well, but it's not doing a whole lot to really distinguish it from other pop songs that are out there today.
Right.
Yeah. A little flat.
No, I think this is super generic. I think the only saving grace is that Young Thug sounds super weird. Like he has like a really...
Like he always does.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a very odd vocal style. And that is pretty much... Like that mixed with a really sort of Latino-influenced, really traditional piano part. I don't know what the phrase, the genre for that piano part would
be. It's like a tango kind of like... I don't know.
Right. That sounds
a
cool.
Salsa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds cool with his voice. But that is either of the things sound particularly impressive
on their own.
We should have a conversation at some point about the way that pop music is just a front for rap artists to perform. Like, it's just like, give us the bare bones of a pop song with a barely recognizable hook to it, and we'll throw a moderately famous rap artist on top of it and call it a day. There's something to be said about pop music acting only as a channel for other rap artists to come in and perform. You think back to like the 2000s with your Britney Spears and your Backstreet Boys and like some mega pop hits coming from those guys with no features. I'm not saying it's a bad thing now, but man, where is like the regular pop music on the charts?
Yeah, it almost feels inescapable. You're right. I mean, like, I think the fact that Taylor Swift has made that song for 50 Shades Darker is like the last vestige. Like, she was the last pop artist that was, this is how you remember radio from every decade before this.
2000, yeah.
Yeah. I think the fact that she is also in that space now means there is no...
The battle has been lost.
Well, you know, I don't know whether that's good or bad, I guess depends on your taste. I don't actually care. I think both are terrible. but
both have chances to be great.
That's true.
All right, let's keep it going. And so that clip is a great example of how the song is not really going anywhere. It's just kind of hanging out in neutral, right? Because that 30 seconds did not progress the sound anywhere. Some nice little mariachi horns inside that I like quite a bit. They sound real tight. But now we're going to hang out in this bridge that's going to just kind of hang out in neutral.
Yeah. It sounds, if they make a Grown Ups 3, this song will play when they're like on the plane
going to Cuba.
Island. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see this being played. We're going to Cuba. Play that song from Cabela Cabello's.
Well, guys, I guess we're going to Cuba. Huh?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Cut to them, like, Kevin James. He's, like, way too
wearing
pale.
A bikini.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I gotta fit in with the locals.
You're an idiot.
Hey, guys, I took a dump in the pool.
Chris Rock, why'd you do that?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And they get arrested.
I didn't want to.
And they have to impersonate Castro's son.
Who's?
Castro.
Fidel Castro?
Yeah, they have to impersonate one of his sons.
Okay, you're describing a movie I want to see now. You've turned things around.
Crap. How can I make this worse? At some point, Nick Swartzen shows up. Is that
okay?
Curbing your enthusiasm?
Oh, now I'm coming around again. Larry David.
There he is.
I would watch. Honestly, I don't go to the movies anymore. I would probably get good and liquored up and go and see a Grown Ups 3 in a theater.
I'll go with you.
I think I would go for that spectacle.
So this is what I don't get about other pop songs these days. They've got these crazy extended outro that you know are just going to be bled over by a radio DJ cutting it off there. It's like, all right, we're closing up to the end. You heard it. All right, we're 2 minutes and 30 seconds in. We'll go to the next one. Bam. There's no development. There's no sense of wanting to stick around any longer. Is there even a verse to this thing?
Well, yeah. There's a Young Thug verse.
But, well, besides that, just Cabela's doing her thing. No, there isn't. It's just the chorus.
Yeah, honestly, that verse is just this, too, just with less of instruments. It's really just this beat over and over.
Yeah. That's been the trend of the Billboard all year long.
Yeah, I feel like pop music, I feel like it's in a spot right now where it's just so designed. I feel like it's so just trying to create something that's catchy and just that. Whereas I feel like before, the idea would be, I have to write a catchy song, but it's got to be identifiable in some genre. And we got to at least pretend that there's a song structure here that's classic. Like, we got to at least pretend that's also part of our goal. We're going to have our classic pre-chorus. We're going to have our verses, whatever. Whereas I feel like now, because of that sort of we're adapting hip-hop into the main stage for people who don't listen to it effect, this is a really weird era for that stuff. I also think that Despacito has a lasting effect. I think it's kind of surprising to think that there's going to be, and speaking specifically about America, more sort of, I guess, Latin-influenced music. It's odd to think that that's so successful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the culture's changing, Mark.
That's true, but it's such a universal song. I mean, across cultures, you know, like Despacito.
It's a global hit.
Although Gangnam Style got big, so I don't know.
That's true.
Maybe, man, it's not as bad as I think. I don't know.
Let's get some more Psy. Whatever happened to him?
He's still cranking it out there. Cranking him out over there, rather.
Still cranking that Gangnam Style.
He's still cranking it.
Remember that, guys? 2012?
Are you Psy right now? Does everybody remember? That's who did the dance? I'm riding a horse.
Maybe something to be said about the transient nature in which we consume music, the way it's so quickly from one to the next, that even if it is just 2 minutes of some catchy hook, like, it's fine, it'll keep me occupied for a couple of weeks before the next one comes out, but it's not really going to form any attachments to me.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like memes. It's whatever the meme of the month is. Play that for a little while. Oh, that's good. All right, on to the next thing. There's no sense of longevity.
You think so?
I don't know. Some memes are good. Put that on a t-shirt. Some memes are good.
Oh my god, I would wear the crap out of that t-shirt. I feel like that t-shirt says more about me than any shirt I've worn.
I don't know about that.
The Kale shirt, maybe, you think?
You've got some good shirts. Don't sell yourself short.
You're right. Cheez-It shirt?
Yeah, classic.
This is just boring, man. I don't want to listen to this song anymore.
Well, we got 37 seconds to go, so buckle up. Some sad trumpet in there.
Oh, I'm a trumpet. I guess we're going back to Havana again. Are we going to write an actual no? Okay, I'll just do the chorus, I guess.
Quite a bit of annotations from Cabela's Cabello over here. She says that working with Pharrell was insane. That was crazy. So I went in with the executive producer, Frank Dukes. He's amazing. For Havana, we wrote verses for that like 3 different times, and the last time was with Pharrell. I basically tricked him into doing that ad-lib track for me, because at first he was like, you know, I think it'd be super dope if you did it because you're a girl, and to have those rappy ad-libs in there would be dope. And I was like, oh, why don't you like sketch them out for me? And I just kept all of them in there. I was like, yes. But yeah, he's amazing. When I came in, he played us his album that he's working on, and just feeding off that energy is inspiring. Just the way that he takes, obviously, artistry super seriously. And everything has a purpose. Every lyric has a purpose. Every word has a purpose. Every ad-lib that he did has a purpose.
Uh, That I'm really disappointed by her definition of Pharrell coming in, and then that was insane.
How many times do you think she says Savannah in this song?
A whole lot.
21.
Savage?
No, just 21.
21!
What if he said that every time?
21! But he has to say it really fast to get those songs to work.
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 M's in my bank account. 21 M's in my bank account.
Okay, no.
21.
This is sounding like a bad Blink-182 sketch. I don't like this anymore.
All right, kill it. 7 seconds to go.
So Pharrell came in, and it was insane.
Into the well.
He had a gallon of milk, and he poured it all over the drum set, and then took off his pants and said, "This is going to be good. I just need you to wait." And then stood in total silence. Wouldn't let any of us leave, then started crying, and then the song was written. I don't know what happened. I woke up, and then we had this song. It was insane.
That dude is magic. I don't understand how he does it, but he does.
Wow. Bro came in. He had a big hat. He put it over me. I was inside of the hat, and I saw things like the world has never seen. I lived the entirety of that. Of the series of Doctor Who, I lived every episode of it, but for real. And I came back out.
Pharrell.
And this, I had written the song somehow in that time. I don't know. Pharrell's insane. It was great working with him.
His new album is going to be amazing. He sees things.
He sees things none of us in the room could see.
Are you taking it on the best tracks playlist, Mark?
I don't want to. I hate saying no all the time, but I don't know.
It's okay. It's better to be choosy than overly welcome.
Yeah.
It's not super far off for me. I think a little bit more variation in the verses could benefit it. I like the production. I like the Latin influence there. Uh-huh. Tugger's verse is okay.
Tucker.
Yeah. Tucker Carlson. All right. Mark, let's you and I get into a more thorough discussion of the rest of the year. So start throwing some stuff out here. Let's talk about it.
All right. So I had a pretty sizable listen list.
Same.
Okay. I don't have my speaker on me, so it's going to sound maybe not so great. So this is something I listened to a while back, but it's something that I wanted to play in the show. I wanted this to be on here because it's the album Guppy by Charlie Bliss. Track DQ. I might have even talked about this actually.
I feel like you might have, but I don't remember it. So,
yeah. All right, I'll just move on then. I listened to the new Bibio album.
Okay.
Phantom Brickworks.
Sounds cool.
It's not as cool as it sounds. Phantom Brickworks, it sounds like it's really cool, but it's actually like an hour-long ambient album of some really familiar ambient spaces. I like Bibio. I was excited to see Bibio do something weird and more, I don't know, interpretive, I guess. But most of the ambient tracks on this, they're quite long, and they are not very expressive. It was let down. Listen to the new Billy Woods record, Known Unknowns, which has some good stuff in there. I feel like Billy Woods in this album is on the cusp of being very good, but there's one too many lyrics that are, or verses, that are the most childish and basic wordplay, with very simple and straightforward message that's easy to get behind, but some, like, kind of like the bumper to bumper traffic Young Thug thing, but for children, I feel like some of these lyrics are. You know?
I think you're confusing the bump, 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 bumper like traffic with the bumper to bumper traffic.
Bumper.
Exactly. You're getting the Ariana Grande vibe, which is fine. If you want to go back and review that album again, I'm fine with that.
Sure. I think we did a pretty good job the first time, though. You're welcome, Ariana Grande, for reviewing.
Thank you.
Let's see here. I listened to the new Burial EP. Subtemple / Beach
cool.
Fires.
How's that?
That was very cool. It's a super cool piece. I don't know much about Burial. The only song I've listened to by Burial is called Hiders. It's from like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's that track was really cool. It's sort of a soundscape that was a lot of like you hear people walking around and you hear sort of like distant conversations, and then it builds into a traditional pop song. This is way more of an ambient thing. There's a lot of you're outside on some city streets and someone's sort of winding a clock for maybe 8 minutes.
Very specific.
Very specific.
Very specific.
Here, I'll play a clip of it for you. You can tell me.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Cool.
But it's actually really compelling because the tracks waver from sort of these like weird cyberpunk kind of like moments of awe when there's these big wide open spaces, especially in the track that follows this, Beach Fires, where you're getting the sense that you're somewhere new and futuristic and cold, but somewhere that's kind of sinister. It's like a really cool, it's a really cool thing. I've been thinking about it a lot. I really like it.
I gotta check it out. Sounds cool.
So I also listened to Capacity by Big Thief.
Okay.
And that's very good, but I'd rather talk about it in the context of the album we both listened to.
Good.
Crack up.
Crack open a crack up with the boys. Let's talk about it. Mark, you and I just did not get to talk about this thing when it released earlier this year. This, of course, the long-awaited third Fleet Foxes full-length album. Because you and I just kept bouncing off it. It seemed like every time I put it on, just could not get into it. And both you and I independently came to the realization that enough's enough, okay? This is the week. And right. I did my best to force-feed this album. I listened to it probably 4 or 5 times throughout this week. Some might say that's not enough to get it. I say no. I say I am done with this thing, and I think it's super flat and uninteresting.
You know what? I have listened to this in full this year, maybe that exact amount of times. But this week, I actually gave myself 1.5 before I thought to myself, why am I doing this? Like, I'm getting no enjoyment out of this. This is not working. I don't like it. I have reasons for not liking it. I'm not going to suddenly realize it's good. Nothing is beneath the surface here I'm not finding.
Okay, so let's maybe take this thing in two parts. Number one, why are we not liking it? Because I'm trying to figure that out myself. And two, why does everybody else seem to like it so much?
Yeah, I like that. So, first question, part one, did you like Fleet Foxes before this?
Honestly, I was not a huge Fleet Foxes fan. I found their folksy sound just a bit too cheery for me, a bit too like, let's gather around the yew tree with our mandolins and sing about ancient times like we're in a Peter Bruegel painting, which I get is kind of their aesthetic. And they're really good at recreating that kind of aesthetic in a way that's pleasing. I will say that I wanted some context. I'm like, maybe it's just me. You know, maybe it's the Fleet Foxes and me that just aren't gelling. Went back, put on that first record, instantly was like, nope, this is way better. This is so much better than Crack Up. So with that in mind, you know, I can certainly appreciate some good folk sounds. And I can acknowledge, even though it's maybe not my favorite, that their sound they cultivated on their first two records is quite impressive. It is detailed and ornate and full, just stuffed full of melodies, of really catchy, beautiful vocal melodies, guitar melodies. It's just layer on top of layer of really beautiful stuff. There are so few good melodies on this record, and I think that's maybe a place to start things off. The album cover is very stark of a cliffside and water, almost like a depressing Bob Ross painting. And it's loaded up with songs that are meant to be like multi-movement songs. A lot of these things have multiple names and multiple movements, but there are so many moments where, what's the guy's name? Pecknold?
I don't know. I don't know his name. That sounds right. I think that's right.
Right. he's like really low, like kind of mumbling certain things. And it'll blast back in with more like guitars and mandolins and levity and joy. And maybe they're trying to show some juxtaposition there of positive and negative energies. But it's just so flat. And the positives don't bring enough joy to me to really boost me up. Even the best song on this thing, which I think is unquestionably 3rd of May, Odigara, is too long and doesn't really hold me as long as I want it to. And I can acknowledge some moments where I feel uplifted and think, yeah, that's a really good melody, but it's not sustaining. I think also maybe there's a big lack of percussion on this thing, which leaves it feeling more open. I think that like just simple... Keeping Time on some other records helps to propel the energy. And I get that's not the sound they're maybe going for all the time here. And it's not that the drums are completely absent on this record. There's about maybe half the tracks filled with it. But when it's not there, it's a lot of vocalizing and musical instruments that don't really progress or move anywhere. It feels so static, so leaden, so empty of emotion and feeling that even just within 10 minutes of that first record, I felt in spades.
You felt in spades?
I felt it in spades, the emotion. There was so much of it that I was digging up spades worth of emotion.
I saw you outside the back. Yeah, okay, saying that about percussion, that is the thing that I came to pretty quick when I was like,
it's not there.
Why don't I like this? What's happening that I don't like this? And I was thinking, okay, they still have their pastoral thing. They're still building these wide open spaces. This is their most ambitious record by far, and I love that first album. I thought it was great. I love the way that it was so composed. It felt like folk composers had made it. The vocals were gorgeous. They were, you know, sometimes a little bit overwrought. I think that album is a little bit much in spots.
A bit flowery in places.
Yeah, but it's like a technical accomplishment in the genre.
They're committed as hell to realizing that sound.
Yeah. And I feel like in Crack Up, the first kind of the vibe issue with me is that it is so produced. There's something so clean and I don't know, like they're just so committed to this pastoral style that they had sort of already invented that their sense of moving around in that space is to just do it bigger, but which would be fine because I like that space. Writing songs the way they always have in a bigger way is a surefire win for me, except for the fact that they don't do it. All of the sounds on this thing are so flat. Everything is just at the same level all the time. There's no sense of drama. There's no sense of intimacy with the vocals. There's no moment where everything sinks low and I'm just there with the vocalist or I'm driven by the percussion. I felt like the percussion that first album is actually really strong. Maybe that's because Father John Misty isn't there anymore. I don't know. There's no percussion on this thing whatsoever. There's no energy to it. And there doesn't need to be for it to be gorgeous. I have a example here of a song from an album that's also out this year, I think is a much more inventive and successful folk album that is a slice of Americana in its own way, this Big Thief album. I'm going to play you just a really quick clip of the first track from Capacity by Big Thief. Okay?
Okay.
It's called Pretty Things. And listen to how, without any of the stuff, without any of the production, without any of the drums, just a guitar and a vocalist can create drama so much better than what feels like this hours and hours of labor for no purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Think about the mystery she creates there. Think about all of the it's like you want to hear what happens next. You don't know where the song is building. There's no, every moment on this album is so expected. Every moment feels like the most obvious musical decision. Like from 3rd of May, even in the track 3rd of May, when it transitions to a completely new song in the middle, it still feels like a movie I've seen before or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I just, I can't get engaged in the sound. Even the tracks they're promoting as bigger singles, things like Fool's Errand or If You Need to Keep Time on Me, I find so flat, so void of emotion. They're not moving. They're not heartbreaking. They're just gray and flat and uninspiring. It's a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm taking crazy pills because everyone else loves this thing and I don't understand it.
And
is it just because it's Fleet Foxes and they're like, finally, more, it's great.
Maybe. Maybe, but I don't
because
feel
let
like...
me tell you something, Mark. Let me tell you something. I, as a kid, was a big fan of Serge Tankian. And I got into him post Elect the Dead. That Elect the Dead had already been released and I was jamming to it. And then I found out that he was going to release a new album, Mark. Oh my God. I'm so ready for this. It's called Imperfect Harmonies. It sounds amazing. And I got it and listened to it and said, it's perfect. It's amazing. It's the best thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Mark, Imperfect Harmonies is a mediocre record at best. That thing is garbage. It's full yep. of terrible writing and horrific soundscapes. Total over-the-top pretentiousness. Right. It's real bad. But I was so desperate for more Surge that I couldn't see the error. And so maybe that's the Fleet Foxes group. They're so desperate for more of that that they don't realize how uninteresting the sounds they're cultivating here is.
Yeah. It's so... I don't know. It just... There's nothing organic... Would you agree with this? There's nothing organic feeling in this album. Like Crack yes. Up feels like every single moment on this thing was carefully considered. It feels like you can't see the forest for the trees almost. Like, it feels like there was no point at which this thing wasn't just designed
right.
from top to bottom.
And I think you could do that. I think what's most telling about that, the overproduction, is that bit in the opening track where the lead vocalist is like singing and you hear him like open the door to yeah. like go outside and then it all kicks in again. So it's like we're getting the opening to like a movie like The Hobbit or something where it's like we've got this whole storyboard of how it's all going to go down, and this is the soundtrack to orchestrate it. And I think that could work if they wanted to create an epic that is storytelling in nature and really focused on big moments. I think they could do it, but this is not how you do it. This is a bad attempt at doing that kind of thing.
Take a listen to Montel Jordan, and he'll tell you how to do it.
This is how we do, yeah.
Yeah, I actually like that as bookends for the piece too. I like the idea that at the end I was actually struck by what a good idea it was. Whenever you hear him walk up the steps to his apartment, you hear every step. Yeah. I love that. That's such a great idea. And it made yeah. me kind of think, I see what they're going for. I need to listen to this one more time. And then I got like what felt like 60 more minutes in was really more like 30. And I thought, no, I can't do this. Like, this is not, it feels like they, oh, I don't know. Maybe it's just the song titles, but it's like we listened to Sigur Rós from years ago and we thought, well, what if we were a little bit more like them? And I feel like they did a little bit better anyway. This like overproduced huge folk sound, you know? Like
yeah.
I just don't buy it, man. It doesn't feel, it feels weightless to me.
Yeah. In a year of big disappointments, this one ranks among the best.
I agree, but perhaps they'll win an award for it this year.
We'll have to wait and see. Everything now is breathing hot on its neck. It's a close race.
You know what? Arcade Fire comes in, you know what they say? Put your money on me.
Yeah.
If there's we a race, made a disappointing
a race for your heart. It's over before it starts. Little did we know it was the race for worst album of the year.
Not a worst album. It's
biggest disappointment.
A bit much.
All right. Yeah, man. I think it's enough of that. Put it in the ground.
Yeah.
It is not as good as everyone else thinks it is.
I would love to talk to someone on here
yes.
who is a huge fan because I'm kind of like you. I don't feel shocked that I don't like it. Like, I don't hate it. I just can't see anything to like about it, which is why I want right. to talk to someone. Like, give me a way into this because this is like just this flat but much longer version of a thing I like. Why is this supposed to be good?
Maybe we'll phone up Cousin. I know he's a big Fleet Foxes fan. I wonder what he thinks about this thing.
The most referenced but never appearing person on the show.
Yeah. We love to talk about him in theory, but never let him materialize. He's like Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah. Did you... How many highlights did you take out of curiosity?
Just Third of May, Odagara. And even then, I'm like, it's just a bit too long. It's a bit too indulgent. But yeah. I like the opening. When it kicks into it, like it's some of the best sounding on the record. Let's play a little bit from that. Maybe the strongest melody on the record. It kicks off on a great note. I think it's a really strong individual song. I don't care for the second half as much, but still a big highlight from the record.
I don't understand why Third of May is anchored to the second part.
Yeah, why you got to do that? Just write a 3-minute song.
Nothing wrong with that. And they do that in other parts of the album where they have the first part yes. separate from the second. It seems so weird that their lead single would be this... Just vast empty space at the end for like 4-5 minutes or something. It just
feels like they're trying to force this massive epic on us, and there's no reason for it to be there.
I was frustrated at first with myself for not liking this, but then with the world around me, which is how I process
all
those feelings.
Come on, guys. Get it together.
In my frustration... I decided to listen to... I was like sitting here like, this isn't even good. I don't understand. Why is this getting all the accolades? I want to like this, but there's nothing to like here. Everyone's lying to themselves. I bet this isn't even top 3 folk albums from the year, let alone the top. I'm going to listen to that Iron and Wine album that nobody liked, and it's probably even better. And it's not. That album actually...
Oh, no.
It's not actually that good. The Fleet Fox album is better, but...
That's too bad. Okay.
Can I...
Let's crack up.
Yeah. And just... To spread some positivity, though, before you jump into the rest of your stuff, I'm sure you got more. Can I just play one last clip of Big Thief?
Yeah, please.
I think this is an excellent example of how to write a song that when you listen to it, you fall back into a lawn chair on a summer day next to the pool with your friends and a hot dog. Don't you just want to be in the 90s just for a quick minute?
That sounds very pleasant, Mark.
Oh, yeah. That's a great album. I'm going to tell you that. I love that. Capacity's really good. Maybe it's really good. Do you have that album to listen if you haven't?
You're just making my list longer.
I'm telling you. It's really interesting.
I got my overalls on listening to that, Mark.
Oh, it's so good.
My Oshkosh Bagosh sneakers.
I'll tell you this. That opening track I played earlier, I was like, it's called Pretty Things. I was like, I kind of want to see, there's a moment where she talks about there's a woman inside of me, there's a woman inside of you in kind of a negative, like intimate moment. And I was like, what does that mean? I kind of want to see if she's ever given an interview talking about what that means. And I Googled her and I found the Genius page for that song. And she's like, listen, I don't want to overwhelm the people interpreting the song with my interpretation of what I've written. And then she basically writes a small essay on femininity and music versus masculinity and how these things are more flexible and how they mean something different than the signposts we usually give them. And I was like, that's super interesting. I feel this song is really interesting.
Killing it.
Yeah.
I got to check that out. That sounds rad.
It's pretty rad.
Rad, man.
Did you listen to
Did
more
you have
stuff?
Anything else?
No, I'm good.
I was going to ask you. You done? Y'all tapped?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I got a smattering of things up here. Let's start with the connections to Fever Ray. I listened to Okovi by Zola Jesus.
Ooh.
It's also in the Bjorky kind of world. Been playing the crap out of Horizon Zero Dawn this past month. Also trying to stuff as many video games down my throat as I can before the end of the year. So I got the music in one ear and the video games in the hands, and I can't see anything, but I'm just feeling my way around like a hunter. But that game is awesome for being a young, independent girl in a world that's full of machines that want to kill you. So it's like harsh and beautiful, but also empowering. Mm-hmm. And getting the Zola Jesus album along with it was sublime. It was pretty incredible. So let's play a little bit from Exhumed off Okovi. You can imagine my character running across the like frozen wasteland after these horrific mechanical machines and like firing bow and arrows from the top of mountains, leaping through streams, this like percussive, tribal, orchestral sound. This album is super satisfying. That's the best way to listen to that thing. I'm a sucker for a Bjork-like, and this is very Bjork-like.
I gotta listen to that, huh?
A little bit more from Soak. Dare I say, I think I like this more than Fever Ray. Like, I was really jamming to this the whole way through. And a little bit more from Wise Blood here. So it's a little gothy, a little bit orchestral. It's real good. And also, like Bjork, she got a front album cover of her face covered in some goop and gunk in a costume and called it an album cover.
Wow. She got kind of like a butterfly vibe going on, right?
Yeah. I give it a big thumbs up.
So this is a must listen. I have to listen to this before the end of the year?
I would give it at least one listen. I think you'd probably enjoy at least a little bit.
Okay. It's there. I'll give it a listen.
All right. Some other stuff. How about some Tame Impala Currents B-sides and remixes?
That's okay.
You didn't care for Currents like I did.
No, I liked it.
There are three B-sides on this thing, plus two remixes of Reality in Motion and Let It Happen. But the real treat here, Mark, is the very first song called List of People to Try and Forget About. I'm going to transport you here to a mystical world right after the completion of Lonerism. Okay? Go back to 2012 with me.
Okay.
You remember how everyone got so upset when Tame Impala was like, I'd rather just make pop songs. I don't want to do that Lonerism thing anymore.
Yeah, I feel raged about it right now.
What if he actually kept doing the Lonerism thing?
Okay, I'm listening.
This is the song that would have been on his next album. Now I gotta add just to my list of places to try. Does that hit the sweet spot between Lonerism and Currents or what, man?
That's pretty. That when that drum kicked in, I felt something in my heart.
Oh, man. There's that Kevin Parker sound, baby.
Oh, boy.
That's very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, give it a spin. I'm taking that track for sure. There's another great one on there called Power Lines, and the other track is called Taxis Here. I think all are pretty strong.
Well, great.
I'm going to keep the positive vibes flowing. Mark Miguel is back with an album that is due to release in just a couple of weeks here. The year is not over yet. As much as we're trying to wrap things up, Miguel's saying, I got one more in it, boys. Are you ready for this? And I got to say, yes, baby. Yes.
Holy moly.
One of the lead singles off this thing is called Pineapple Skies. Mark, I'm going to put you in a happy place right now. I'm going to be so happy to do this to you. Are you ready for some new Miguel?
Give it to me.
Oh. That is it, man. That is it.
Oh, my God. Your 5-hour urge just kicked in again.
Woo! He's got that amazing bass riff. His voice is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That could just throw a whole wrench in. Like, I'm starting to, like, try to formulate the scaffolding for my top 10, 15 list.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miguel's coming in, like, just, like, singing sexual explosions from his mouth. And I'm like, well, we got to consider this guy.
Can I make a claim here and say that from St. Vincent to Fever Ray?
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about covering Baths next week to Miguel.
Of
that is the horniest month in Weekly Beats history.
It's all this pent-up sexual frustration that needs exercise.
Yeah, what's feels weird every time. Feels like every week from now until the end of the year we're talking about wanting a bone real bad.
I love it.
All right.
Well, just two more quick ones for me. I listened to the Bleachers album, Gone Now.
Oh, well, yeah, what'd you think?
I'm going to love the crap out of it. Like, I'm like two or three spins through and immediately like, yep, this is exactly the kind of aesthetic I'm into right now. Jack Antonoff is got something special. Don't Take the Money is a jam. Everybody Lost Somebody. When that sax riff kicks in, oh, man, is it good.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's play a little bit from that. Oh, here it is. Yes. That's incredible. That's some really good pop music right there.
It still has the DNA of modern radio pop in there, though, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. I think it's super radio pop. That's why I like it so much. Hmm. Maybe that's the sound I've been lacking. Maybe that's like Jack Antonoff's here to say, like, forget it. We don't need no rap features. I'm going to do my own thing. Here's some saxophones.
Well, then why is, when he produces every album that's successful anymore, why isn't he producing it that way?
I think he is, though. I can feel traces of Lord in here, like off the one track. Hate That You Know Me.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of Lord sounding, right?
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
It's like, what's the last one? Perfect Places.
Well, I don't like that version of the song. I'll tell you that.
The last thing I listened to was His Spun by Chelsea Wolfe. Was a pretty big fan of her last album, Abyss, from 2015. This thing was not as engaging. It is more gothy, dark metal. I was in the gothy, dark female vocalist zone this week. Maybe highlight for me is Particle Flux from this record. Very doomy goth sound. It's enjoyable, but I didn't lose my mind over it.
Okay.
The album cover is pretty good. Just a white room in a corner with like her hunched over like this hairy mass in the corner.
Let me look it up.
Hiss spun.
Oh. Oh, wow. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is what
that's kind of the aesthetic.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think that's been it for me.
I liked Pain is Beauty.
Yeah?
Yeah. Maybe I should give this a listen.
I would say Zola Jesus first, then this one.
Yeah, I feel like I have like some 20 albums I'm trying to get to.
Tell me about it.
But doesn't mean I have to listen to this by the end of the year. Maybe just listen to it.
Correct.
Later.
You're right. Okay. Well, that'll do it. Mark, I'm going to do you a favor here, bud.
Mm-hmm.
It's my pick for next week.
It's your pick? Oh, you.
No,
I, but no,
I'm teasing,
you
it's not.
Fever Ray.
Yeah, you're right. It's your pick.
What was your favorite?
I was going to pick Bass for you.
Oh. Did you think I got it wrong?
Yeah, I think you picked something else.
Wait, you thought I picked Fever Ray?
No, I thought you were going to pick Baths.
I am going to pick Baths.
Good. I wanted to let you know that I would have done the same thing in your position.
Oh, okay. This is a confusing conversation, but likely interesting to no one.
Romaplasm. How are you feeling about it?
I haven't listened to it yet. I'm saving it because I wanted to try to get more stuff, and I'm going to have to listen to it if we cover it. So, I'll say this. Baths, every time that man, I don't know his name, every time that man has
Bathman.
Is that what that feels like? Bathman. Every time he's released an album, even under other monikers, he used to, before his Baths, he was Post-Fetus. Even under that moniker, when he puts out an album, the art for the album is extremely evocative of how the album is going to feel, which makes me a little nervous, a little off-put by this new one, because he seems real scared. He seems uncomfortable. I don't know how uncomfortable I want to feel. Just kidding. I want to feel really uncomfortable. So I'm excited.
Wide-eyed, but he's in kind of like a lush green space.
Yeah.
Looking at the sun.
Someone's clutching his neck in a way. I can't tell if it's reassuring or romantic or like threatening. It's hard, maybe all of them. I can't really tell.
What if I told you this album was inspired by his love of K-pop?
Oh my god, that makes me so excited.
I've only listened to Yao Man so far, which was a single he put out a couple months ago, and I like it quite a bit. So
yeah,
I'm
it's good
to see how it goes.
All right, well, yeah, I'm pumped.
Cool,
man. Obsidian was just such a great album. I'm excited to be living life and living it with Baths.
All right. So it's Baths next week. The Billboard has spoken. And this week we're going to talk about some Sam Smith, since we haven't talked about him yet this year. Too Good at Goodbyes is coming in at slot number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100 for the week.
I don't care for that.
No, I don't either. Sam Smith is super boring.
If you like the Billboard and you're listening to this, you got to hate us at this point, right? Like, it's got to be so frustrating to listen to.
I get the sense it's just like one-offs. Someone pops in for an episode and like, yeah, those guys are idiots. I don't know what they're talking about.
Man, I don't want to be dismissive. Like, I try, my whole goal in life is to open myself up to as many new experiences as I can. So when I'm dismissive, I hope it doesn't read as me being pretentious, because what it really is just continuous disappointment and frustration. Like, it's, I want
there to be
this.
We've
been
doing
this
for a minute now.
Yeah, right? Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't want to seem like, oh, whatever, it's all bad, because that's not how I feel.
Don't hold your breath, because Imagine Dragons is sitting at number 5.
Okay.
All right. Well, we will continue to listen to as many albums as possible over the next couple of weeks. We'll see you in about a week to talk about Baths and Sam Smith. In the meantime, track us down on all the various social medias. Hit us up on that iTunes store, the podcast app. Throw us a 5-star review. We sure would appreciate your love. Do your duty to your podcast. Give us some love. Respect. Anything else you want to say to the people here, Mark?
Yeah, it was a hard-fought race, but whenever I got to that finish line, I felt, boy, did I feel accomplished, and I felt just about ready to take another one. So I'm feeling good, and I'm ready for tomorrow.
All right, bud. It's been a good talk. We've got many more good talks to come before the year is out. So stay tuned next week for Baths and Sam Smith. Until next time, play that outro music! Let's find out what you are about. What's hidden in there?